in the book of Judges. And as per each week with our visitors and our guests, reminders are good. So in the book of Judges, what we're seeing is the 300 years, give or take, that the children of Israel during the Old Testament were without a king. All right? They were without a ruler. They were doing things their own way. They had followed God into the promised land. They were there. And God spoke to them and said, you know, follow me. You all do your thing in all of your 12 counties, states, tribes, whatever, and follow me. And they kept denying God. They kept disobeying God. They kept falling into devastation and disaster. And then they would cry out to God and go, oh, we did it again. He would deliver them. We've heard this each week. You're going to keep on hearing it. Because that is the theme. Disobedience, disaster, deliverance of the people in the Old Testament. And guess what? It is also your theme too. All right? You disobey. There is disaster. You cry out to God. He delivers you. Now we've been talking about these judges, these champions for the Lord. And we've got the lefty and the hefty, the guy who God used because he was left-handed. We've had Gideon who was threshing the wheat and the wine press and hiding away, and God brought him up from nothing and used him to defeat the Midianites and made him great. Othniel, the great warrior, there's not a lot said about him because they want to focus in on the fact that God did it through him, not that he is a mighty warrior did it. Now we're going to take on a fairly popular one today, all right? But probably in a way you haven't heard before, and our goal is to play this back to us, the church, and to the message that we're sending as a church, both to the people in the church and outside the church. So today is Samson Day. Today is the Hercules of the Scripture Day. Today is Arnold Schwarzenegger Day. All right? It's the Terminator of the Bible. Everybody sees this guy as Arnold with long hair. Okay? That's just the way we see Samson. This muscular, fantastic, heroic guy. Just not to burst your bubble, because I've never seen him. Okay, so I don't actually know what he looked like. He could have been really muscular and had these huge biceps and thighs and arms and chest like me. But he could. But he could have been just a regular Joe. He really could have. Because his strength actually came from the Lord. It would have been expected that he could take people out as a big guy. But the Bible isn't clear about his physical stature. He could have been a regular guy with long hair. All right? With really, really extra long hair. All right? Long flowing locks. All right? So, we don't know what he looked like. What we do know is he was strong. We do know that he had great exploits. We do know that he had a problem. We're going to go through that today, and we're going to see God restore him, which is where we want to finish. So the story of Samson is about four chapters long. Not going to read all that. Not going to do it, okay? You can follow me, and you can check in on what's going on. So an angel of the Lord, a servant of the Lord, a messenger of the Lord, comes to this man and this woman separately and basically says, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be awesome. But you got to follow some rules. Can't drink. You can't touch things that are unclean. You can't do all of these things while you're pregnant with him. All right? And then he's not going to be able to do these things. He's going to start from the beginning taking what we call the Nazarite vow. Doesn't touch anything unclean. Doesn't do anything against the word of the Lord. Doesn't touch his hair. And the hair, this is important later, the hair is symbolic not only to the family and to God, but to everybody around, that this child has made a vow with the Lord. This family has made a vow with the Lord. And as that vow stays connected, as that covenant stays unbroken, there will be an inexplicable connection between this young man and the Lord. And he will receive amazing and wonderful and awesome power to do great things for the people of Israel, for God. Alright? So that's what happens. Samson is born. Now, Samson actually means light, or actually sunshine. Okay? I'm reminded of the anybody ever seen Remember the Titans when the blonde kid comes? You know, and every time when I was reading that, I was thinking, oh, there's sunshine. I probably wouldn't do that to Samson. When he walked in the room, you don't go, if you get your rear end kicked, all right? You don't do that
Look, people did it behind his back, all right?
So Samson is born, and his hair grows out. For the most part, with a Nazarite vow, you could expect that it could be about waist long, okay? Now, that doesn't seem important now, but later when we get to restoration, that's going to play a part. It would literally be down to their waist or past it, okay? And the timing of that is going to be important later. A little nugget, we find it, all right? Timing of the length of the hair, important, all right? So, we find, right as the next chapter starts, right as we get his birth, we find out he's going to be strong, we find his weakness right away. Women was his weakness. Now, the Israelites were enemies of the Philistines, all right? And this guy worked at the wall between the two, okay? And he sees a woman on the wrong side of the wall, and he's like, I want that one. Don't want any of these ones. I want that one. And his dad said, plenty of these ones. And Samson said, I want that one. All right? And so, you know, they get to this woman, and he breaks the barriers that he shouldn't break, all right? And things don't go very well at all right? And there is death, and there is bloodshed, and Samson ends up touching dead carcasses to beat people up with, and thousands of people die, and Philistines die, and the wife dies. Bad news. You broke the vow. Disobedience. Destruction. Alright? And the people cry out to God, but Samson's like, my hair's still good. So then, the story we all know, then there comes along another woman. A very, very, very beautiful woman. And she is also with the bad guys, all right? Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her, and the people said, Samson is here. And they surrounded the city and lay in wait. They made no move, and dawn will kill him. But Samson got up in the night, took hold of the city gates, together with two bulls, tore them loose, lifted it on his shoulders, and carried it to the top of the hill, all right? So these are the kind of things this guy did. He knows people are going to trick him. He doesn't leave the gate, all right? He grabs the gate. Imagine a big stone column, all right, on this side. A big stone column on this side. A giant wooden thing, you know, pillar in the middle. And these big gates that are the entrance to the city. Not the entrance to your house. Not the entrance to your neighbor. The entrance to the city. Samson grabs the bar of one gate. Grabs the bar of another gate and goes, and the stones and the pole come out of the ground. All up out the ground, rips it from the wall, carries it up to the top of the hill, puts it back down, and go, oh, welcome here. He's making a joke. All right, he's saying, you can't get me, but I can get to you anytime. Then he sees this woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. All right, so immediately he falls for Delilah, and the people go to Delilah and they say, all right, we've been trying to get him. He's made a fool of us for years. Let's see if we can get him. And here is how the story goes. Now, some of this is absolutely hilarious. Some of this, for those of you who are not Bible scholars, you're going to find really funny. Some of this, you're going to wonder, what in the world did the pastor just say? Just listen, hear me out. All right? This is good. All right? This always makes me think about Willy Wonka. I know that's weird, but I'll explain that in a minute. So Delilah, figure it out. See if you can tie him up. You subdue him. We'll come in and get him with a big army. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. All right? She didn't walk up to him and go, tell me the secret of your strength. You know what she did, don't you? You know she did. It don't work. She cuddled him. She cuddled out to him and she said, I know, right?
Samson!
You know she did. You have to see this going on the couch or whatever.
Samson! How are you so strong?
You know? Please, come on. I think Samson was. Here's the next one. straight from the scripture. If anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man. Now the religious people in the room are going,
no, he did not say thong.
The children are going,
did the preacher say thong?
There are some of you who actually have a sense of humor in here who are going, I'm glad they said fresh thongs. Those of you Old Testament scholars, all right, Steve? Those of you, you don't want me tied up with a little fresh thong. A thong, listen, is a bowstring. When the warriors went out and pulled the bow together and you tied it, you know, the heavy string, that's a thong. Get your minds out of the gutter. So 7 bowstrings. So the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs that had not been dried. She tied them with them. With many of them in the room, she called him, Samson, the Philistines are on you. But he snapped the thongs easily, and as a piece of string snaps when it comes to a flame, and his secret was not discovered. All right, so he tells her a trick. She gets people in the room. She ties him up while he's asleep. They attack him. He breaks free. Knocks him for a loop, throws him everywhere, and the story's over. No. Next night.
Hey, man. You lied to me.
I lied to you. You tried to get me beat up by a bunch of thugs. If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used. She goes and tells the Oompa Loompas. Oompa Loompa, doopity doopity. I've got 7 fresh ropes for you. You know. Then they run away. She says, they're here. They come to get him. He's throwing him. Oompa's flying everywhere. Oh no, here again. Come on, Oompa. If you weave the 7 braids on my head into fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin. Now, how's that working? She just said, weave the hairs on my head in the loom. So while this brother's asleep, does she drag him over to a giant weaving loom, insert his hair? Can you just follow this whole picture? You know, I don't know how this is working, but when the hair gets in the loom, loom-ba-loom-ba-doo-dee-doo, you know, here we come after you, and then... Four times. Listen to me. Fellas, pay attention. Fellas, women, not talking to you. Fellas, I know they're pretty. I know that they're seductive. I know that they've got us wrapped around the finger. I know all of these things. I know we can't say no. You better learn. But when a sister pulls... today. Yeah, right. When a sister comes to you, trying to get you killed, comes back to you, trying to get you killed again, comes back to you, trying to get you killed a third time, and then asks again, you in for it. You dumb. You unintelligent. You messed up. Run! Run, Woodwalker, run! Candy factory's not working. Run! Get in the great pass elevator and get out. He tells her, my hair's never been touched. Shave my head, it's all gone. Why? Stop. Anybody ever messed up? Like messed up. No? 4 of you? Anybody ever really messed up? Anybody ever cried a little bit? Woke up, come to Jesus, it's all done, and then messed up the same way again? Cried, came to Jesus, then messed up the same way again? It's your story. This is you. This is me. This is, but we can't stop. This is addiction to many things. This is why it runs rampant in our culture. She tells him. He shaves her. She shaves his head. And they come in, they tie him up. He tries to break free and he can't. Listen, I don't know what your thing is. You don't know what my thing is or my 10 things are, the things that we all mess up on. But I know that deep, dark silence, that place that nobody is, where your mistakes keep coming over and over again in your head. You want to pick yourself up and you go, why did I, how did I, what put me here? There are times when we make mistakes and God is gracious. Somehow in His wisdom and in His love and His mercy, we don't get what we deserve. But some days we do. Because He is merciful and just. Some days we have pain. Some days we experience hurt. Some days it all plays out in front of the world. It's painful. There are consequences to sin, church. And I used to do a youth sermon on this passage where I would say that sin would blind you, sin would bind you, and sin would grind you. You see, here's what happened to Samson. He couldn't see the forest for the trees, and you can't either. That's why we keep on doing it. You ever try to talk to somebody who's caught up in a relationship they shouldn't be in, and then you hear, but I love her, or but she loves me, or but I want to be there, and they can't see what you see. I'm not a drunk. I'm not an addict. I don't have a drug problem. But you, their bank account says they do. Their marriage says they do. You know why? Because sin will blind you. This is not a biblical thing. You can look at anybody who's caught in anything and they can't see. That's why we need each other. That's why we're committed to a church. That's why we join up and say, preacher, say small group leader, say friend, say neighbor, help me when I'm down. Because sin is blinding. And when we're caught in it, we can't get back. It's also grinding. It takes from you. It literally affects your body. People get anxiety. People lose weight. They get stressed. You can see it on their face, the dark circles under their eyes. They lose sleep. Their relationships begin to falter. Their job begins to suffer. That's because sin consistently grinds you. You know what they did to Samson when they caught him? First thing they did? Stuck two things in between and popped his eyes out. Stuck them in, popped them out, cut the cord. That's thing number one. Sin will blind you. You know what they did next? They tied him up. They tied him up completely and then tied him to the place where the donkey works because he's a strong man. They tied him to the wheat grinding mill where the donkey goes around to turn it. Took to a giant stone that rolled around this cylinder thing, circular thing, and you put the grain in there and this would crush it. They bound him to it and they sent him to grinding the wheat. Sin grabs you, takes hold of you when you can't see it, and it grinds on your life. Blind, bind, grind. That's what it will do to you. Some of you are in the middle of it now. You're not going to stand up and say it. But you know what a real, healthy, young, delicious church looks like? It looks like a place where somebody could go. I'm right in the middle of it. Preacher, I'm in the middle of it. And I believe with all my heart that standing up this morning is the most embarrassing thing I've ever done. But it's also the most freeing thing I've ever done. And I do not expect any judgment. And I do not expect any fingers pointed. I expect my church family to love me, to hold me, and to help me get from this sinful, awful place to where God wants me to be. In the healthiest of churches, in my most wild dreams, when I preach a sermon like this, that's the kind of thing I hope happens. That a visitor a member that somebody goes, no matter what it costs right now, I'm caught. I'm in it. And I want help out of it. Because sin will destroy you. It will make you not what God made you to be. Champion, a warrior, the great judge for Israel who saved them all, has no eyes, is tied up, weaker than he's ever been in his life, underneath the palace of the other God. He was in the palace of the God of the Philistines. You know who they picked as their God? They picked a God who was half man, half fish. The temple had a big, you know, picture and statues of this half man, half fish God, because their whole deal was fishing. The Philistines were fishermen. And so they thought by praying to this God, their harvest, their fishing would be enhanced. And so they've got him in the underbelly of this temple grinding for them. And there's a verse in there that a lot of people miss that I want to bring out this morning for you. There's a verse in there that basically says, his hair started to grow back. No big deal. It's just hair. And his hair is the symbol of his strength, but not the source of his strength. That's got to be said. God gave him the strength. And his disobedience of God severed the cable between him and God where he would receive his power. But that subtle verse, his hair started to grow back. We got some people who cut hair in here. You all, did they tell you, you guys in the school, approximately how fast does hair grow? I read about an eighth of an inch a week. Is it a half inch? Half inch a month. Okay, a half an inch a month. All right? Half an inch a month. All right, so an inch every 2 months, 6 inches a year. Regular sized man, what is this? You know, 2 to 3 feet from here to your waist. We're talking about a 6-year process for his hair to get down to his waist. Give or take. 5 to 6 year process for his hair to get down to his waist. I think that's symbolic. The nugget in this story for me this time was not just about sin. When I went back to research it for us, for our church, for our family, and for me, here's what the reading gave me. Here's what God laid on my heart. He wants us to be who He created us to be. Regardless of where we've been or how far we've fallen, God wants us to be who He made us to be. He couldn't stand to see Samson in the because it was a reflection of him. And you need to hear that before we get finished. Our choices are a reflection on our Jesus. You see, all the Philistines on this night we're going to come to are dancing and drinking and enjoying, and they're celebrating the defeat of Samson and the God of Samson and the power of their God. Listen, yeah, it's wrong. That's right. That's right, it's wrong. God suffered. His name suffered. His image suffered because of this. And when we as Christians continue to live and walk in sin, we set a bad example. We send a bad message to the world about the state of who God is and where God is. But God, in His grace, His mercy, His wisdom, His love, does what He has always done and will continue to do. And He brings redemption to those who ask. You know what we want? We want to stand up in church and we want to say, this is my thing. We want that to be it. You know? I said my thing. I'm free. I don't need to work on it. I'm done. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. See, nobody wants to wait long enough to get fixed. Same with the diet. You want to eat one turkey sandwich, drink 8
morning and have that scale go from 145 to 135, don't you? You want to do 1 week of broccoli and chicken, and you want to wake up every day and see it go down. 1, 2, 3, 4. You want it now. You want to confess your sin to the judge, say I did it, but not serve your time. All of us want it to be this way. We want finances. We want our finances to be fixed. Write us a big check. We'll pay off our debt and everything will be fine. No, it won't. It won't be fine if you don't change anything. You don't change your physical habits. If you don't change your eating habits, if you don't change your diet habits, if you don't change your spending habits, if you don't change your wants, then none of it's going to change. You need to understand that the restoration of Samson took 6 years. God began by starting that hair growing back, but he grinded and he prayed and he was blind. But there came a day when there was restoration. There was the ultimate becoming. They were having a party in this temple. And they remembered that they had the big boy downstairs. And the Bible uses a word that's basically like jester. They brought him up as a circus act. They brought him upstairs to dance like a monkey in a tin can, alright? To make fun of him. And he comes up dirty, but his hair has grown out. And they're making fun of him, and they're poking at him, and they can't see. And he cries out to God. He says, God, one more time, let me be who you made me to be. And he tells the servant next to him to put him next to the pillars. Of course, they're laughing. Put him there! Put him there! Our God is stronger than his God. We defeated him. Put him there! And they put him between these pillars. And his strength is restored. His championship is restored. And he pushes and with one fell swoop kills more Philistines, brings more justice, does more for Israel than he did the whole time that he was alive. I think if the numbers are right, he killed 1,030 people while he was alive. He killed 3,000 right then. God not only wants you to be who he made you to be, he wants you to be more. And he can make you more. And he can restore you no matter what you've done. And he can restore you no matter how many times you've done it. But it will not happen in an instant. It takes time. It will not be something that you just get and move on. It takes change. It takes humility. It takes patience. And for us, it takes people around us loving us to be who God wants us to be, even if it hurts. Samson is the story of a champion. It is the story of a hero. But it's also the story of failure. The story of forgiveness. See, forgiveness can happen in a moment. Real redemption, real restoration takes time. Most church people out in that aren't willing to wait for it. You'll tell them you forgive them, and then they want to jump right back into this service or that service or leading these kids and those kids. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Other churches want to say, you're this. You had an abortion. You went through a divorce. You're not worthy anytime, any place, anywhere. Well, that's wrong too. But somewhere in between there is forgiveness, redemption, and restoration the way God intended. That's the way the Bible does it. That's the way we want to do it. With you and for you. I don't know what you're carrying today. I don't know what you're going through. You want me to know? I'm here. You don't want me to know? No problem. But I promise you this. Anything outside of God's will is making you way less than God intended you to be. We want to help you fix it. We want to help you become. We want to help you find your strength in Him. We're going to go back. We're going to worship some more. We're going to sing some more. We're going to pray some more. I'm going to be available to you.
Your friends, your neighbors are going to be available to you. Try not to be bound this morning for the next 7 or 8 minutes. Try to let the religious thongs fall off. Never again will the preacher say the thongs need to come off. Okay? Not at all. But for this 8 minutes, let the religious strings, let the religious ropes fall off. Let fear fall away. Let worrying about what everybody else thinks fall away. And if you need something, ask. You don't have to ask me. You can ask me, but you don't have to. Get here and ask God. Let's open the floodgates. Let's find freedom. Let's let our children know that NBC is a safe place. Let's let our community know that we're not perfect people. Church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And we all need to be here. Cameron and Caroline are going to come. We're going to sing. Whatever you need to do, take the next few minutes to get out of the rut, to get out of the grind, to be freed in Jesus, and to find yourself His champion again. Father God, thank you for this.